This Shir Parashat Mishpatim is in memory of David Wicks, Zichrono Livracha, by his loving family. I think I mentioned in the past David was a student in the yeshiva and killed tragically in an accident in New York City. He was an exceptional person. I've spoken about that also on other occasions. And so exceptional that it's hard to forget. This is the parashah, though. If you learn the book of Shemot, you're teaching Shemot in a school or kids, and so you divide it up, right? There's the part about Yitziat Mitzrayim, and then the part about Matan Torah. So Yitziat Mitzrayim is Shemot Ve'era Bo B'Shalach. Shemot Ve'era Bo B'Shalach. Yitziat Mitzrayim. You could say that, right? And then Matan Torah is Yitro and Mishpatim. But if you have Yitro, what role do they play, these two parashiyot? So we know that Yitro, last week's parasha, is the parasha of Aseret HaDibrot. Aseret HaDibrot, that sounds like Matan Torah. Whereas the parasha of Mishpatim is about a collection of laws, none of whom are very interesting, and most of whom are like some more interesting than others. For example, the laws of Eved Ivri. I mean, you know, you could be interested in that. You could hope that there won't be too many slaves, Jewish slaves. Jewish slaves were Jews. You know. So how would you divide it up? So when I look into it, I see this. The Ramban and other Rishonim, the Ramban says that the whole Torah from Bereshit Bara Elokim until HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem, Chodesh Hazeh Lachem is the first mitzvah that Am Yisrael as a community received. Kiddush HaChodesh. Why? And how they did it, and what was happening. Okay, that's a discussion for another occasion, but fortunately, it's not this week's parasha, so we don't have to talk about it. But from Bereshit Bara Elokim until HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem, the Jews had the Torah. They knew all of that. They knew all of that because they knew the stories about Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Yosef. They knew who they were, and they knew what they did. So in a manner of speaking, they received that part of the Torah as an oral tradition. When that part of the Torah became written down, it was a little speculative, but I suppose that at some point Moshe Rabbeinu wrote it down, and it became part of what we call Torah Shebichtav. So that's the first part of the Torah that they received. That Bnei Yisrael received. The second part of the Torah that they received, by my estimate, is here in the pasuk. It says, "Shmot Perek Tetvav Pasuk Kafhei." If you look at the second source on the sheet, "Vayitzakel Hashem, Vayoreu Hashem Etz." Was there's this problem with water, which we don't want to get into right now, but there was a problem. You know, the Jews. They get annoyed easily. They didn't have something. They said, "Oh, the whole thing is falling apart." You know, this whole Yitziat Mitzrayim gambit that Moshe Rabbeinu told us we were going to be very successful at. We don't even have. I mean, we don't have Diet Coke, but we don't even have water. I mean, you know, that's really terrible. And the second half of that pasuk, that I just read, is like a non sequitur. It's about something else. Sham sam lo, choku mishpat, v'sham nisal. Sham sam lo, choku mishpat. What's chok and what's mishpat? I don't really know. I mean, you can imagine that. Within law, there could be divisions. Some laws could be called chok, and some laws could be called mishpat. I don't know exactly what they are, but if I look at Rashi, Rashi, like who kind of formulated my way of thinking about things, that's how we learn the Chumash, from the time we're children, we learn Chumash with Rashi. We don't even distinguish between them. So what did Rashi say? Rashi says, you see it here? It's here. Bimara natan lahem miksat parshiot shel Torah. Mara is where they were before they got to Sinai. You have to just remember where we are, right? Shmot, Perek Tedvav. That's Bishalach, the parsha of Bishalach. Remember Shmot Ve'era Bo Bishalach? Those are the parshiot of Yitziat Mitzrayim. Then Yitro Mishpatim, those are the parashiot of Matan Torah. Yitro is the parasha of the Aseret HaDibrot. So Rashi said, Bimara, that's where they were. Rashi just reminds us. They were in a place called Mara, which was where they were before they got to Har Sinai, after Kriyat Yam Suf. They were in Mara. Natan lahem miktsat parashiyot shel Torah. Isn't that interesting? Natan lahem, somebody, who is the antecedent? Who do you think who's the antecedent of Lo, Sham, Sam, Lo? There, God gave to him, to Moshe Rabbeinu, Sham, Sam, Lo, Chok u'mishpat, Bisham Nisau. Let's forget about Bisham Nisau for a minute. But Chok u'mishpat, that's big. It was before Matan Torah, there was a Matan Torah. This is already the second Matan. The first Matan Torah is the Torah that they knew orally, from Breishit until Achodesh Zelachem. The second Matan Torah is whatever they got at Mara. Sham Sam Lo, Chok u'mishpat. Chok u'mishpat, Rashi says, Sheyit asku bahem. Yit asku, what does that mean? Yit asku bahem. Nobody knows. You can't know anything like that. We don't know what the Torah really means, but we do know that when Chazal invented the bracha on Talmud Torah, what was the word they used? Lasok. That's what you do. You osek b'divrei Torah. That Torah is special because Talmud Torah is not about achievement in terms of kilograms. How many kilograms of Torah did you learn? But it means creating a world around the Torah in which you live. Rashi says, the Rashi we're looking at, the Kaddish Baruch Hu in Mara thought that Bnei Yisrael before Matan Torah needs the Torah. Needs a little Torah. Here's a little Torah. So what did they get? According to Rashi, Shabbat Upara Aduma Vedinim. I'm not interested right now in the list of things that they received. Let's stick to Shabbat. Right? They received Shabbat. They receive Shabbat. Now, what do you mean they receive Shabbat? What do you mean they receive Shabbat? I remind you. If you turn the page over, I'm not responsible for the order. Shmot Rabbah Parasha Aleph. Shmot Rabbah is the Medrash on Shmot, right at the beginning. Davar Acher Vayar B'Sivlotam. He, Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe Rabbeinu, he was like an independent actor before he became, like, took the Jews out of Mitzrayim. He was here and he was there. He lived in the court of the king, but he was Jewish and he knew that he was Jewish, and he said, Ra'ah, you see the Medrash? Ra'ah, She'ein lahem menucha. He saw that the Jews could not rest. Halach v'amar leParo. He went and he talked to Paro, who was his grandfather, sort of, in a manner of speaking, like in a friendly manner. Mi sheyesh lo eved, imeino nach yom echad b'shavua. Who made? He says, he's talking a secular man to a secular man. He's talking to Paro. Paro's in charge of a big company called Egypt. And Egypt runs on slavery. I mean, they have like, you have to power the company somehow, and they power it on slavery. Now, you want your slaves to be efficient. So here's Moshe Rabbeinu, who came up with an idea, according to Chazal. And his idea to tell Paro was, Mi sheyesh lo eved, a person who has an eved, like a machine, to power the country. Imeino nach yom echad b'shavua humeit. The machine is going to break down. You have to give it a day off from time to time. Everybody knows that. Everybody knows that. You don't know, if you work your vacuum cleaner all day and all night, it's going to break down. Humeit. Ve'elu avadecha im ein ata meneich lem yom echad b'shavua heimeitim. These your slaves, if you don't give them a day off, if you don't give them a day off, they're all going to die. Amar lo lech v'asei lahem k'mo shetomar. So Paro said, wow, that's a really great idea. And because I'm going to get more, my results are going to improve, right? You know, today there are all kinds of companies that will measure the results of anything. But here, Paro said, that sounds right to me. Halach Moshe v'tikein lahem et yom ha-shabbat lanuach. Shalom ha-shabbat lanuach. So Chazal, the intuition of Chazal, the way Chazal understood reality was that Shabbat always existed for the Jews. Right? And you know that the Rashi in Breishit, Rashi Breishit, where we say Kiddush, I remember Kiddush Friday night, Vayivorech, Vayikadesh, both of those words are used in the Chumash to try to describe to us the relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right, and the Shabbat, the seventh day, the day of rest. And Rashi says there, it's not on the sheet, Vayivorech b'man, Vayikadesh b'man. Vayivorech b'man, Vayikadesh b'man. What does that mean? What does that mean, Vayivorech b'man? What do you think that means? I mean, you've all seen the Rashi. What does it mean? What's it got to do with man? Okay, I know that in the Midbar, in the desert, man was important for Shabbat, right? And we know that Hashem told Bnei Yisrael, you're going to eat man in the desert, and on Shabbos you're not going to make it, you're going to have it, and that we ultimately understood. That the food we eat on Shabbos is not food that we cook on Shabbos, but the food that we cook before Shabbos, right? So that means, according to the Midrash, the Bnei Yisrael knew about Shabbos right before Matan Torah, and they knew about Shabbos in Mitzrayim, and they knew about Shabbos in Marah, because Rashi says Sham Sam Lo Shabbos. And finally, at the end of the parasha of Beshalach, you have Shabbos again in the guise of man. So how many Shabbos are there? There's the Shabbos of Bereshis, there's the Shabbos of Mitzrayim, there's the Shabbos of Sham Samlo, and the Shabbos of the man. And we could add into that the psukim in Bereshit in the first paragraph, Vayivorech, Vayikadesh, Vayivorech b'man, a Kaddish v'man. So Shabbos was part of the Torah that they knew before Matan Torah. And Shabbos was the Torah that they knew before Matan Torah, which enabled them, Bnei Yisrael, to receive the Torah. Because that's what Sheyaskuba, and in the Rashi, if you go back to the Rashi, Rashi says, B'mara natan lehem k'tzat parshiyot shel Torah, Sheyitaskuba. So the Maharal says, interestingly, you know, you could like think about it. In order to receive something, you've got to have it already. I think I mentioned it. I mentioned it previously. That in order to receive the Torah, you have to like recognize the Torah. You have to feel for the Torah. You have to know what it is. Right? You know, like if you get presents from your grandmother, like what presents do you appreciate with the things that you like, the things that you deal with, right? So if your grandmother gives you a book, no good. If your grandma gives you a new app for your phone that you never imagined you could get, that's good. Because that's what you do all day, right? You fool around with the apps and you don't read books. So that kind of person, he wants another app for his phone. So the grandmothers have not yet figured this out, but eventually they will, I suppose. They will figure it out. So the Maharal says, and we'll see that the Ramban says something very similar. The Maharal says, in order to receive the Torah, it has to be appropriate for you. It has to make sense to you. It has to be something that you desire. And so HaKadosh Baruch Hu, according to Rashi in Mara, made the Torah desirable. How? By giving us a little bit of Torah. And that idea was already developed by the Ramban. Let's look at the Ramban on that idea. Sham Sam Lo Chokum Mishmav Sham Nisau. You see the Ramban on the first side of the page at the bottom. B'mara natan lahem miksat parshiyot shel Torah sheyitasku behem Shabbat parah aduma v'dinim v'sham nisau la'am l'shon Rashi. First, the Ramban quotes Rashi. This is the Ramban's way. Then he said, "V'hudat rabotenu." He says this is a quote of the from the Gemara in Sanhedrin. V'anita meya. The Ramban. The Ramban says, "Anita meya." It's usually a good question. Lama lo pirish kan hachukim ha'ele v'mishpatim v'yomer v'yedaber Hashem el Moshe tzavet b'nei Yisrael. Why didn't the Torah say here in the Sham Samlo, they don't talk about, the Torah doesn't mention these mitzvot. He says, why didn't the Torah mention them? What are we embarrassed about? I mean, these are great mitzvot, right? Shabbos and Dinim, I mean, these are really important things. And why doesn't it say, V'yedaber Hashem el Moshe tzavet b'nei Yisrael kasher amar b'parshiyot ha'nizkarot limala dabru el kol adat b'nei Yisrael? Is that when God said to Moshe and to Aaron, speak to b'nei Yisrael, this is what you should say. That's like the language of the Torah. Say to them what I want you to say. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu had here. Hear the silence. I mean, like, I wouldn't know if not for the Gemara. And then repeated in Rashi. How would I know that what the Sham Samlo refers to? Question of the Ramban. Simple reading of the Pasuk. So he goes on and says, V'kad yaseh b'kol ha-mitzvot ba'ol mo'eh. And that's how God introduces the mitzvot to us. In the Ohel Moed, Ohel Moed is after what we call Matan Torah. V'chein Arvot Moab, also mitzvot in Arvot Moab, that's the book of Devarim, a lot of mitzvot. Arvot Moab, or Pesach Midbar, like Pesach Sheni, it's called... V'lashon Rashi shama parshiyot sheyaseh tasku bahem, and Rashi's a way of saying it, sheyaseh bahem, that they should involve themselves with it. Mashmasho di em hachukim aem v'limeid otam atid HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'tzavot et kem b'kach. He says, so what did Moshe Rabbeinu tell them? He says, here's something about Shabbos. Now God is going to command you to keep Shabbos. Right now, I'm just telling you what he's about to command. Ala derech. Now listen to the Ramban. You ready? This is the important part. So take note. al haderech shelamad Avraham Avinu et haTorah. The Ramban says that I could say something about the way that Avraham Avinu knew the Torah. Chazal say that the Avot knew kol haTorah kula. Now, what do they mean? What did Chazal mean? It was not like the fantastic, but how did they know that? How did they come to that conclusion? Vayazeh lahargilam b'mitzvot. Oh, the Rabban is they do the whole Torah. What for? Why do they have to know the Torah? What difference does it make? After all, Torah means a response to a command. So Avraham Avinu was commanded lech lecha, and he responded. He responded, but he wasn't commanded about Shabbat. So what was the point? What was the point? So the Ramban says, Zeshemar, Vayazeh l'argilam mitzvot, v'ladat im yikablu otam besimcha uvetuv levav. How does that sound? In other words, the command in the parasha of Ki Tavo is that you should accept the mitzvot b'simcha b'tuv levav. So in order to know whether the people, Avram, Yitzhak, Yaakov, would accept the Torah joyously, they gave a Kodesh Baruch Hu, allowed them to intuit what the Torah demands. Right? V'hu anisayon shamar v'sham nisau. And that's what the pasuk means here when it says v'sham nisau, raised him up. Raise them up, the Bnei Yisrael, v'hod the am, she'od yitzavein b'mitzvot, that there are more mitzvot to come. V'zeh she'amar im shema t'shema l'kol Hashem, elokecha v'azanta l'mitzvotav, v'she yitzavein etchem, otcha b'hem. So according to the Ramban, in order to accept the mitzvot, you have to know what that means. It's not as though God is going to give you the mitzvot and you can think about it. God will give you the mitzvot when it's certain that you're going to be in it, into it. When you'll accept the mitzvot, you accept the charge. Right? So how is it that you're going to be prepared for accepting the charge of doing the mitzvot? By doing the mitzvot. And not all of the mitzvot, but at least some of the mitzvot. At least some of the mitzvot. So now we get to our parasha. We get to the parasha of Mishpatim. The parasha of Mishpatim starts with the pasuk, Ve'ela Mishpatim Asher Tasim Lifneihem. And then there are a lot of mishpatim. Not all the mishpatim, but a lot of them. A lot of them, for example, as we said before, psukim about slavery. Psukim about slavery. Laws, the laws of slavery. Okay, so let's look at the Rashi. Ve'ela mishpatim. You see the beginning. The pasuk says, Ve'ela mishpatim asher tasim lifneihem. Rashi explains every word. Every word of that pasuk. It was important for Rashi. Kol makom shenemar eile pasal et harishonot v'eile mosif al harishonim. So Rashi is telling us an interesting, I don't know if it's grammatical or syntactical, or some word like that you have to stick onto that comment in Rashi. And what Rashi is saying is that if the word in Hebrew is v'eile, that means that we're adding to something that was previously stated, something new. V'eile. So Rashi says, kol makom shenema eile, these are the ones, right? Not those, but these. That's how Rashi understands it. Pasala derishonim. V'eile mosif al derishonim. V'eile means not only those, but also these, right? Ma rishonim is Sinai. Av Elo Misinai. So what are the Rishonim that are Misinai? Misinai. The only thing we know that's Misinai is part of the Aseret HaDibrot. That's what happened in Yitro. Chazal say they didn't hear all of the Aseret Dibrot b'Sinai, but they heard the two Dibrot. That's what they heard at Sinai. So just like they were b'Sinai, those two, the Eile are also b'Sinai. Mari Shonim b'Sinai, Av Eilu b'Sinai. However, the idea of Rishonim, okay, I mean, so this is, we have to recognize this anomaly. We think generally that B'nai Yisrael, I mean, I take that back. People think generally Torah was given to B'nai Yisrael at Har Sinai. But that is not so accurate. What was given to B'nai Yisrael entirely at Har Sinai was the understanding that God could give Torah to the people. The way they understood that, the way they each understood that, was they participated in the this relationship to God through the Aseret HaDibrot. Not all the Aseret HaDibrot, just two of them. But they knew that God was giving these Dibrot to them, the community of Israel. And therefore, when Moshe Rabbeinu came down later on and said to them, here's the rest of it, they believed him. They believed him because they knew that Moshe Rabbeinu was the reason that they had received the two Dibrot to start with. That Moshe Rabbeinu was the cause somehow. They were with Moshe Rabbeinu in prophecy. They were in the same place. They were in the same place. So that's what the Ramban says. So now, Alder Shalamad, Alder Chapshat. This is the fifth wide line. Alder Chapshat, Kasher Echelu Levoba Midbar Hagadol Hanora, V'Tzimaon Asher Ein Ma'im Sham Lahem B'Mechiyatam V'Tzarcheihem. Minhagim asher yinhagu bahem ad bo'am el eretz noshavet. I mean, the whole language of the Ramban is absolutely wondrous. Look at the words. Al derech hapshat. If I had to explain, I explain pshat. Pshat means, like, what's going on? Al derech hapshat. Kasher heichelu lavo b'midbar gadol, they came into this great and oppressive desert, Vahanora. I'm reading the Ramban. I'm back in the Ramban at the bottom of the page. What?
At the bottom.
What?
The bottom
Ramban. Yeah, we didn't do the top Ramban. So he says, Al derech hapshat kashrei chelu lavo b'midbar hagadol vahanora v'tzimaon asher ein mayim sham lahem b'mechiyatam v'tzorcheihem. So they were in a difficult situation, the Ramban said. They were in a desert. They didn't have water. They were feeling down. They were depressed in modern lingo. They didn't feel they were going anywhere. They didn't feel they were getting anywhere because they didn't know exactly why they had to go through this trouble again after going through all the trouble that they went through in Egypt, right? Ki haminhag yikarei chok. Sham sam lo, Ramban says, chok. The word chok doesn't mean a law, a rule, but it could mean also minhag. Minhag, you see, a law is generated by an agency that produces laws. that's a law. But a minhag usually comes from the people. The people do it a certain way. People do it a certain way. That's why in different synagogues, there are different ways of doing the same thing. Right? You know, something happened in this synagogue, in that synagogue. So the minhagim, people in different, who come from different countries, as you see very, very often in Yerushalayim, they do the same mitzvot, but a little bit differently. A little bit differently, even though today there is an attempt to get everybody to be the same, but they're not. So that's chok. Kenyan ha-trifeni. Then he goes, lechem chuki, he tries to explain that, right? So you skip v'yikarei mishpat, you see the next line, v'yikarei mishpat, and when it's a minhag called mishpat, which sounds like a legal term, but he says biyoto mishoar kehogin. If you do the minhag in the proper way, like everything develops a proper way of doing it, so if you do the minhag in the proper way is called mishpat. V'chein ko asa David v'ko mishpato kol hayamim. Again, these are all psukim which he thinks that will prove his point. Umishpatim. You see skip another line. I'm now 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 lines from the bottom. Mishpatim sheyichyu bahem lehov ish et re'ehu. We all know that there are the unwritten rules of life that are not necessarily formulated as laws, but things that we can agree about, that you should be nice to each other, that you should not cause distress unnecessarily. And to go in accordance with the elders, the way they and sin'ah is an important part of tzniut, is an important part of life for the women and the children. And the people who come, that was common, you know, there's a camp, you're in the camp, and people come and sell you things, you know, it's like a train station in Russia. V'tochachot musar shelo yu lemachanot asholelim asher yasu kol toevav leit moshashu. And you should try to organize a society that people will be embarrassed about doing things that are not proper. Ucheinyan shetziva b'torah ki teitzei machane loivecha. When you go out to fight against your enemies, that's a time. I mean, being in the army is a time of fighting, not being in the army, but fighting in a war is a time when people tend to relax their standards, right? They don't live up to what they should. Etc. So according to the Ramban, Chok u Mishpat refers to the way of the world, the way that you should live, the good way to live, so that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't just give B'nai Yisrael in Mara, didn't just give them Shabbos, and we said we'll only talk about Shabbos, we didn't just give them Shabbos, which is, you know, was really not the laws of Shabbos, because they had Shabbos de facto, and the man was organized in a way that it told me something about Shabbos, but it was not exactly a law of Shabbos. It was a law of man. So now we go back to the first pasuk. in our parasha. Ve'la mishvatim asher tasim lifnehem. So, Mari Shonim Rashi says Misinai af Elu Misinai. V'lama nismicha parashat dinim leparashat mizbeach. Again, what's parashat dinim leparashat mizbeach? The end of the parasha of Yitro. The end of the parasha of Yitro, if you don't remember, you could check, is about building the mizbeach. And the beginning of the parasha of Mishpatim is about dinim, about laws. So Rashi says, "Lama nisvicha parashat dinim the parashat mizbeach." I mean, he sees that, you know, this is what Chazal said, but there's an insight here, according to Rashi. Lo malicha shetasim Sanhedrin eitzel hamikdash on the mizbeach, right? That the Sanhedrin should have a place, right? In the Bayit Sheni, the Sanhedrin was in the Lishkata Gazit. There were rooms around the Beit HaMikdash, and they had one of the rooms. The rooms was called the Lishkata Gazit, you know, the one that was made out of wood. So Rashi says two things. That just like we know that the first was Misinai, the rest was Misinai. What's the first that Rashi is referring to? Aseret HaDibrot, Harishon Misinai. What's the second that Rashi is referring to? Eila Mishpatim, which were sort of not from Sinai. But since Bnei Yisrael knew that now, that everything that Moshe Rabbeinu taught them was really from God, they knew that. How did they know that? How did Bnei Yisrael know that Moshe Rabbeinu... Later on, in the end of this parasha, at the end of the parasha, Moshe Rabbeinu says, "You want to come and get the Torah with me?" What did they say? It's like the dramatic moment of all time. What? They said no, right? They said, "We don't. You go. You go. We're happy to stand here and wait. And whatever you say, we'll accept." So how did they know that whatever Moshe Rabbeinu would say would be the Torah?
From the first two.
What?
From the first two.
I'm sorry, I don't hear.
Oh, from the first two.
What does that mean?
That's when Moshe was there, and they hear the first two from Hashem, and Moshe's there, so they see he's the. Then they say, "You be the representative."
No, they were all there, but why wouldn't they? Moshe's there.
They're afraid to go up.
Maybe. I think that they knew that Moshe, and it was usually prophecy. Somebody comes and says, "I'm a prophet," and so you say, "Okay." I remember in the yeshiva, I once had this. It was an actual case. Somebody came and said, you know, that he was a prophet. I thought he was interesting. Actually, I had a weakness for people who were interesting, or who I thought were interesting. May not have been. So somebody comes and says he's a prophet. So the Torah tells you how to deal with that. What are you supposed to do? You say, "Look, if you're a prophet, do a miracle." And then if he does the miracle and it works out, you can say to him, "Well, do another miracle." You know, because there are all these charlatans in this field, in this area of prophecy, we can't trust everybody. But at the end, even if he does another miracle, you only have an inclination that, but you don't know that he's a prophet. You know, like in knowledge. Knowledge is very difficult to buy. I mean, it's not so easy to get knowledge about somebody. So at the time of Har Sinai, the way I say it, I think, which I think it helps a little bit, is that all of Am Yisrael were in Moshe Rabbeinu's head. And when Moshe Rabbeinu received the Torah of Aseret HaDibrot from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, everybody was receiving it at the same time. They were all equal. It was the only time, the only moment in history when you were absolutely certain that somebody was receiving information from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And once they knew that, it wasn't so difficult to them to say to Moshe Rabbeinu, you go in Har Sinai, and we know that you are the real McCoy, and therefore whatever you come and teach us, we will accept. And that's how it worked. That is how it worked.
They saw him go into the cloud.
What?
They saw him go into the cloud.
And so?
If he went into the cloud, there must be something to him.
All right. If that's good, that's good. I'm sort of telling you what I think, like what I would like. I would like to know that Moshe Rabbeinu is bringing the Torah into the world. Now, how do I know that? Well, I know that only if I am a prophet with Moshe Rabbeinu. If his prophecy and me are the same for the two dibrot. So it was such a frightening thing that B'nai Yisrael didn't want to repeat it. But they didn't have a problem believing what Moshe Rabbeinu said.
So
now, listen.
That moment that we understand
at that moment,
everyone had
right.
That moment of
right.
prophecy.
Right, yes. That's what I think. I don't think I'm alone in this idea. It's not my original idea, but this is what I think. So now listen to Rashi. Rashi says, Asher tasim lifnehem, the second part of the first pasuk of Mishpatim. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu leMoshe. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said the following to Moshe. Lo ta'ale al datcha lomar. Don't imagine that you can get away with the following. Lomar, to say, I'll go over it with them a couple of times, you know, like we're studying for like a cumulative exam at the end of the year. It says, he says, until they've got it straight, you know, like, got to get the pieces straight, that's what they'll teach you the Torah. I don't know what that means. But let's say what Rashi means is that Moshe Rabbeinu says, I'm going to teach them the Torah more. I'll tell them what the Pasuk says, and I'll tell them Shat the Bav, but I'm not going to do the whole Torah Shmuel Peh. I'm not going to do all of that. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, don't think you could get away with that. Right? Eini matriach atzmi lavinam ta'amei adavar perusho lakach ne'emar shetasim lifneihem. According to Rashi, that's what the words mean. Asher tasim lifneihem, which you will place before them, kishulchan aruch ha'muchan lechol lifnei ha'adam. Like a shulchan aruch ha'muchan. You got to give them the whole thing. Whatever you receive, that's what you've got to give to B'nei Yisrael. Asher tasim lifneihem. Eile mishpatim. We saw that the Ramban said mishpatim has different meaning. The meaning of Chok u'Mishpat before Matan Torah was different than the meaning of mishpatim after Matan Torah. Right? We saw also that there were mitzvot and Torah that B'nei Yisrael had before Matan Torah, like Reshit bar Elokim until HaKadosh Hazeh Lachem, and then the mitzvot that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to B'nai Yisrael in order that they should be able to accept the Torah and the mitzvot. Then we saw that what we call Matan Torah was really only the experience of Kabbalat HaTorah, but it was not the entirety of the Torah by far. It was just two psukim that B'nai Yisrael received. Moshe Rabbeinu went up at Har Sinai 40 days and 40 nights and received the entirety of the Torah, but B'nai Yisrael blew it because they built the Egel HaZahav, which we haven't yet actually discussed. And then, for some reason, it seems to me that in order to make Kabbalat HaTorah, the receiving of the Torah, like in order for it to take somehow, in order for it not to dissipate and fade away, B'nai Yisrael had to immediately build the Mishkan. Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Har Sinai on Yom Kippur. Right, that was the second time. The first time Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Har Sinai and saw the Chet HaEgel. So 120 days passed until Moshe Rabbeinu went up again for another 40 days. Another 40 days to get, we don't know what. But he ended up with another set of luchot. I mean, the content he probably knew because he received that content the first time he was up on Har Sinai. So he received luchot a second time. Why he had to do it in 40 days, 40 nights, I mean, that's something to think about. It's something to think about. But apparently, I would say, or it seems to me, that building the Mishkan was necessary, a necessary implication of receiving the Torah. Another way of saying that is that in order to keep the Torah, in order to be able to hold on to the Torah, that to do something majestic that was connected to the Torah. So everything in the Mishkan was done according to the rules that were promulgated by heaven. Right? Heaven told Moshe Rabbeinu how to do it. And here and there, Moshe Rabbeinu had a problem and he had to consult with heaven. But that was like also, we talked about it in Yitro, but that was something that indicated something important about Torah. That there was ongoing consultation, that there were things that will always be unclear and have to be clarified. That's what happened in the building of the Mishkan. Building Mishkan, there was an effort by all of Bnei Yisrael to build the Mishkan, and there was an effort by Moshe Rabbeinu to be precise about the Mishkan that was going to be built. And this was all in protection of the Torah that was received. They didn't just receive the Torah, but they did the Torah. And so, if you remember the Ramban in Sham Samu Chok Mishpat, where the Ramban says Chok and Minhag could be the same. There's a way of doing things, right? But when there was a Mishkan to be built, it had to be done very precisely. It wasn't done according to the imagined needs of the population, but everything became halakha, became law. So I hope I haven't confused the situation too much, but all the points that we raised today are important for understanding about Matan Torah. And so, have a good Shabbos.